From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgartz.
Let's talk some sports, shall we? I am your host, Hunter Baumgartner, and welcome into the Sports Q here on WJJQ on this warmer-than-average evening. The light is still out there, not pitch dark like it was, you know, about a month ago when I was starting the Sports Q on a Wednesday night at 5:30. So we are getting towards that time of year where it is lighter later, and that is fantastic. In fact, what is today's sunrise? I know, welcome to the Sports Q, and we're talking when the sun sets. The sun sets at 5:28, so we are continuing to get later. Tomorrow we add 2 minutes to that total to get it to 5:30. So we are getting later and later when it comes to the light, and that is fantastic because that means summer is right around the corner. And does that mean baseball is right around the corner? Well, usually, but not so much this year. We'll talk about baseball's lockout situation coming up here in just a little while tonight. Also going to get into the Bucks, going to get into the Badgers. We are going to have three guests tonight. We're going to talk Packers with Andy Herman. We previewed the Packers 49ers game with Andy, and I really want to get his take on not only that game, but what has transpired since then and what is to transpire with this offseason. So we'll talk to Andy just after 6:05. He covers the team inside and out, daily content on YouTube and other places. So he is fantastic. So he's the owner of the Pack-A-Day podcast. We'll talk to Andy just after 6:05. Coming up at 6:40 tonight, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet girls basketball coach, about their season so far. They've got the postseason right around the corner. Talk to John at 6:40 rather. And at 6:50, really excited to welcome to the show Zach Hansey, who is the junior Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer who is going to represent Tomahawk at the state swim meet this weekend in Waukesha. So looking forward to talking to Zach at 6:50. So packed show with few guests in the second hour, but hey, heading into 6 o'clock, it is all you. Feel free to give me a call. Your thoughts, questions, concerns on sports, not only in Wisconsin, but in the Northwoods, or hey, any national story you want to talk about, it's your show. 715-453-4481. Would love to take your calls. And we're going to start with the Green Bay Packers, because as much as, you know, the Bucks are playing in the regular season, the Badgers playing well, we're going to talk about both of them. But the Green Bay Packers are still what is on everybody's mind, because there is so many, there are so many question marks coming into this offseason. I feel like this might be the most question mark full offseason in a long time. Last year there was a lot of question marks. There was. And there wasn't so much with Aaron Rodgers until we heard that report come out on draft day that, okay, he is disgruntled with the team, right? There wasn't anything really that we really had thought about when it came to Aaron Rodgers. There was some people around the team that might be gone and might be free agents that might be leaving, but otherwise it wasn't as many question marks. This offseason, boy, the question marks are aplenty. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be. You don't know if your star wide receiver is going to be back. You don't know if other receivers are going to be back. I mean, Alan Lazard's a restricted free agent. Marquez Valdes-Scantling's a free agent. Really, the only spot you're set in when it comes to the offense is your running back situation with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, which is fantastic. So, obviously, the biggest question is Aaron Rodgers, and I think a lot of these decisions and a lot of these dominoes, so to speak, will fall once Aaron Rodgers decides. Once he decides what he's going to do, once Aaron Rodgers decides what is the next step for him, is it coming back and playing? Is it coming back and playing for the Packers? Is it coming back and playing for a different team? And the third option there, in the options that I just laid out about Aaron Rodgers, I think the third option is really, really there's a low chance. And I think it's really coming down to, as I said a couple of weeks ago here on this show, it's either retiring or it's coming back and playing for the Packers. Truly, that's what I... And I know he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild, but if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you're not going to be part of a rebuild. As long as Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, they are going to go for a Super Bowl. And you have to believe that. Because Matt LaFleur said, you know, in his last press conference of the season, you know, we want to do everything and look at everything we can to get back to where we were this year and get back to the NFC Championship game and then subsequently back to the Super Bowl, right? Because if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you know that he's in his latter stage of his career, so you got to go for it. So that's what they'll do. Sure, you might not have Devontae. That's a reality, that Devontae Adams may not be back with this team. However, if Rodgers comes back, I think it's a higher likelihood that Devontae does. But you might not have some of these other guys. However, if Rodgers comes back, then I think a lot of these other guys might sign for maybe even a little cheaper of a deal to play with Aaron Rodgers and a chance at a championship. Because as bad as Rodgers may have played in that game against the 49ers, and he didn't play all that bad, it was about average, but he wasn't great, you know that your best chance to win a championship next year in 2022 is going to be with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback more than Jordan Love. That's just the truth. If Jordan Love's your quarterback, you have a way less chance of, number one, getting to the playoffs, number two, winning your division, number three, getting to the postseason, and heck, getting to a Super Bowl. Because sure, you're not going to be paying as much money to the quarterback if Jordan Love is your QB, but you're still going to be paying Rodgers, and you're just not going to have that type of talent at quarterback, which is the most important position in sports, arguably. So I think it was interesting, you know, Rodgers accepted his MVP award on Thursday night. He had his speech afterwards, and he also accepted, you know, he also had a press conference afterwards, which usually what the Packers do is they put press conferences out there. You see videos, right? You see videos of Aaron Rodgers press conferences. You know, I've gotten to cover press conferences by Aaron Rodgers this year. That one was very exclusive. That one I did not cover. That one was not posted on public forums. It was all about the quotes that the guys who were in the press conference, the reporters like Rob Domofsky of ESPN and Matt Schneidman of The Athletic and others who got to be in that press conference. It was all about what the quotes that they were sending out and able to release. So, and they could release anything. I mean, anything that Rodgers said, they could type out and send out. So here are some of the quotes from that press conference. This isn't from the speech that Rodgers gave after accepting the MVP award, because that's the video that went around. It was a 2-minute speech. It was on, you know, on ABC and ESPN. So that went around like wildfire. But what he said afterwards, I think, was more telling. But I think the conclusion you can draw after listening to, after, you know, seeing all the quotes that came out from Aaron Rodgers in that post-award press conference was he hasn't made a decision. I mean, one quote came out and I was like, okay, it sounds like he's coming back. Another quote came back, oh, it sounds like he's going to retire. Oh, another quote, oh, he might be leaving. Literally, I mean, it was just constantly like that as quotes were coming out from this press conference. So I don't think Rodgers has made a decision. I don't think he's trying to fool anybody to not think, and I get that we've been fooled before, right? He said he was immunized when he wasn't vaccinated. I get that. But I think with this, there's no reason for him to not be transparent about this. And so I think it's truly, when he was asked billions of questions about this, I mean, almost the entire press conference was about Aaron Rodgers' future and asking him about it. He basically gave answers to all these different things. But I think what we can take is some of the more important quotes from that press conference that I found and really look at it and say, okay, I think we can still draw a little bit of a conclusion from it. So let's go through some of these quotes of Aaron Rodgers last Thursday after he had won his fourth MVP award, which is tied for second all time, second to Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning gave him the award. But he goes to the press conference after, and I have to read these quotes because I don't have the audio from it. But here is one. This is Aaron Rodgers. There was obviously some things that were voiced in the offseason privately between Brian Gutekunst and myself, and I'm just thankful for the response. There was a lot of things that were done to make me feel really special and important to the present, the past, and the future of the franchise. And I've got to say that Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst especially had a big hand in that, and it didn't go unnoticed. So from that quote, right, there was a lot of things that were done to make me feel really special and important to the past, the present, the past, and the future of the franchise. That does not sound like a guy who's ready to just bolt out of here, ready to just go at the next opportunity that presents itself. That's a guy who really appreciates what the organization did, and they responded. They really did. And that was one of the things, right, where it was like, I took Rodgers' side throughout that offseason last year and voiced that on this show because I was like, he's the best quarterback that the Packers maybe have ever had, right? He's up there with Bart Starr. He's up there with Brett Favre. Maybe he's better talent-wise than both of them. Bart Starr obviously has the championships. Brett Favre was incredibly exciting to see play, and he was fantastic. Hall of Famer, no doubt. But Aaron Rodgers might be a step above just by the talent level. And no, I'm not saying that Rodgers is necessarily the greatest Packer of all time or the greatest of all time. I think he's one of the most talented players that the NFL has ever seen. So I was like, how in the world can you let this guy go? How can you not at least bend a little bit to him? And it sounds like the front office bent to him. And once they did, they realized, wow, yeah, this guy we need this guy around. We absolutely need this guy around. So now not only is Rodgers thanking the front office and thanking Brian Gutekunst for his response, but also the Packers front office is saying, come back, Aaron, come back, Aaron, come back, Aaron. Because the report on Super Bowl Sunday from Adam Schefter was, the reporter for ESPN was basically like, look, the Packers are going to go all in on this. And if they have to defer money later, you know, down the road, they'll do that. But they're going to go all in to trying to get Aaron Rodgers. And that's a flip from what we had last offseason. Another quote from Aaron Rodgers. I talked at length at various times about being comfortable walking away and just not playing. And I don't want to create more questions than I probably already have. But I don't fear retirement. I don't fear moving on. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. Proud that I've accomplished it in Green Bay over the last 17 seasons. And excited about the future, whatever that ends up being or looking like. So then, right, where I'm reading these quotes come out from that press conference, it's like, okay, the first one, I think he's coming back. Second one, okay, he doesn't fear retirement, though. And he's proud of what they've accomplished in Green Bay over the last 17 years and excited about the future, whatever that ends up looking like. So now it's like, okay, that kind of sways you a little bit maybe more towards retirement. But again, he again says what he accomplished in Green Bay. And so he again includes the Green Bay piece. So again, it makes me think, okay, it's either retirement or come back for him. Now, having said that about retirement, he then goes on to say, also still highly competitive, still have that bitter taste from the divisional game, so definitely a lot to weigh, but thankful for the Packers organization and the conversations that we had at the end of the season and just the way the whole season went. I was obviously frustrated about some things in the offseason. We had a ton of conversations, and I just felt like there was so much growth, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the relationships with Brian Gutekunst as much as anybody. End quote. If I would have told you in May of last year that coming up after this season ended, that Rodgers would have said, quote, I'm thankful for the relationships with Brian Gutekunst as much as anybody. If I would have read you that quote, you'd have been like, no, no way he says that after the season. Because they were so at odds. They were so at odds. And boy, has that turned around. That has absolutely turned around. And so after hearing that, how can you think this guy's playing somewhere else? Now, he did mention this, that the big decision will be whether or not he wants to play this year and committing to this season. That is the big decision. He hardly mentioned it being about where he plays. So I got to think he's leaning heavily towards returning to the Packers if he does come back or retiring. And I think these are the options. I am starting to day by day continue to think that it's less and less likely that we see Aaron Rodgers in a different uniform come next season. Truly, I just cannot see it right now with the way he's praised the organization. Now, if the Packers say, you know, they're all in for him, if they're truly all in for him, like the reports say, and like Matt LaFleur has said, and Mark Murphy, president of the Packers, has said, actually, that they are absolutely on board and completely want Aaron Rodgers back in the building. If that is the case, sure, there are going to be some cap limitations and some monetary limitations. But as people in the front office and people around football have said, they can get things done. They can make it work. If they want a player, they can make it work. Right? Right? If they want Davante Adams, they can somehow make it work. Now, will other positions suffer? Maybe. And will Aaron Rodgers, and this has been a big topic too, will Aaron Rodgers go in and say, look, I want to return and I want to compete? And Brian Gutekunst says, you know what? Our relationship is good. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You need to take a little bit of a pay cut here, or at least for money, whatever you have to do. Are you willing to do that to be competitive here in Green Bay so we can go out and get the people we need and retain the people that we need to retain? And if Aaron Rodgers is so keen on wanting to compete and play for the Green Bay Packers and not be part of a rebuild, then he's going to have to maybe take a little less and do what so many are comparing him to Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady has been paid less throughout a lot of years of his career to be on competitive teams. And so will Aaron Rodgers do that? That's the question. Now, is Aaron Rodgers Tom Brady? No. I think Rodgers is more of an I than he's more of an I person than Tom Brady. And meaning, if you look at some of these quotes, from not only his last press conference, his last conversation with Pat McAfee on that show he did weekly throughout the season, there's a fair amount of eyes. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. Proud that I've accomplished it in Green Bay over the last 17 years. Right? So would I be surprised if he doesn't, you know, take a pay cut or not be the highest paid quarterback in the league? No, because he's Aaron Rodgers, and there is some of that eye with him. But like he said, he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. So if he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild, then he's going to have to at least bend a little bit to make sure this team is competitive to more than just what Aaron Rodgers brings. If Aaron Rodgers comes back and they do what they have to do and they don't have Davante Adams, they'll have a less talented team, but that doesn't mean they're not going to compete for a division. That doesn't mean they're not going to compete for a win or two in the playoffs. But if they want to be the caliber team that they were this year, he's going to have to probably bend a little bit. And that's what stinks so much about them losing to the 49ers this year, because they had the team to do it. But I don't want to revisit. I do not want to revisit that game. We will a little bit with Andy Herman coming up after 6. So some important dates to remember here as we go through the next couple of weeks, because right now it's February 16th. We are less than a week away from the franchise tag window, which is February 22nd to March 8th. And that means during that time, the Green Bay Packers can franchise tag Davante Adams, which means we're going to pay him a whole lot of money to stay here for a year and hope that we can get to a extension agreement. The Packers have that control. They can franchise tag Davante Adams. And if that's the case, Devontae's in-house for next year. Right now, he's an unrestricted free agent, but the Packers can put that franchise tag on him. Now, if they put that franchise tag on him, it's possible that you do the Last Dance Part 2 and you have Aaron Rodgers come back as well. And Davante Adams is like, you know what? I'll do this one more year with Aaron Rodgers, but I am gone next year because you guys franchise tagged me and not allowed me and didn't allow me to go out and be an unrestricted free agent. It's possible. It's possible it burns that bridge with Davante Adams if the front office does that and doesn't allow them to do it long term. But does the front office bite that bullet and say, look, we've got Aaron Rodgers for one more year. Let's try it. That's possible. So again, that starts a week from yesterday. So that starts Tuesday that the Packers can put the franchise tag. And that lasts until March 8th. March 14th to March 16th is the 3-day legal tampering window for negotiations between teams and unrestricted free agents. So they'll have almost 24 free agents, the Green Bay Packers will. And if players such as Devondre Campbell, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, and Rasul Douglas don't have new contracts with the Packers, they'll have the chance to start talking money with other teams March 14th through the 16th. And then March 16th is when the new league year officially begins at 3 o'clock Central. So you can start signing people, and all unrestricted free agents can then sign with others. And all teams must be under the salary cap to start the new year. So they must be under the salary cap at that time, so maneuvering must be done by then. But I think what Rodgers has said is he wants to make this decision by free agency, which is March 16th. So we'll know at least at the very latest, we'll know the Rodgers decision a month from today. But I think it's going to be in the next couple of weeks, because I think Davante Adams and what they do with the franchise tag window between February 22nd and March 8th is going to have a role in that. So those are the dates to remember as we go forward. But again, right now, from reading the quotes, reading the tea leaves, so to speak, I think it's either retire or come back to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers. And if I were to say, I'd say he comes back. I do. I'd say he comes back to the Green Bay Packers. Will that prove to be true? We shall see. Let's switch gears, talk a little baseball coming up next. David Stearns, president of baseball operations for the Brewers, is, you know, the reporters can't report on players right now, basically, because the MLB's in a lockout. So they're reporting on front office folks, and David Stearns has an interesting clause in his contract that was discovered. We'll tell you about it next on the Sports Cue.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Cue with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
The snowmobile season is underway. Make sure you and your machine are ready for the trail with a stop at Bigfoot Stewart Express. For your machine, spark plugs, belts, AmSoil intercept, clots, and inject oil. Carbide wear rods and track slides. Find a nice selection of HJC helmets, jackets, and bibs. Lacrosse boots and Ice Armor gloves and mittens. Pick up your trail maps and gas up with mobile fuel at Bigfoot Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk.
Let Carrier provide quiet and efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort and available at Hilge's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And you can learn all the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilge's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilge's, for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit hilge's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Billy Bob's also has their daily specials on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, plus the Friday fish fry. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, featuring happy hour Monday through Friday from 2 until 5. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. Call 453-4984. That's 453-4984, Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm your host, Hunter Baumgard, with you till 7, talking Wisconsin and local sports like we do each and every Wednesday evening. Coming up at 6.05, we'll talk to Andy Herman, Packers podcast host and reporter. Looking forward to talking more Packers with him. Coming up at 6.40, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet's girls basketball coach. And at 6.50, we'll talk to Zach Hansey, Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer, who is going to represent Tomahawk at the state meet coming up this weekend in boys swimming. So can't wait to talk to Zach. We've got we've got three guests in the 6 to 7 hour here tonight. But first, want to talk a little baseball. They've got a lockout going on. Spring training is going to be delayed. The Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues are set to start February 25th in 9 days, but a trickle and eventually a flood of cancellations is now inevitable. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a press conference last week that once a CBA is ratified, it would take several days, though perhaps less than a week, to fling open facility doors to players. Look, it's not good. It's not good where the MLB is at. But we'll get into that if we have time. But I first want to talk about this thing with David Stearns, president of baseball operations for the Brewers. So the New York Mets have wanted to bring David Stearns into New York to be their president of baseball operations. And in baseball, that's probably overall a step up, right, from the Brewers to the Mets. That just is what it is. It's New York. It's the New York Mets. It is what it is. They've asked the Brewers for permission to interview David Stearns for that job 3 times, and the Brewers have denied him all 3 times. And it's a lateral move within baseball, technically, because he's a president of baseball operations here, and he'd be a president of baseball operations there. So the Brewers owner, Mark Annanasio, can deny the interview request, which he's done 3 times. It was reported last fall that David Stearns had just one more guaranteed year on his contract, plus a vesting option for 2023. The legitimacy of that report wasn't fully clear at the time, but it seems more accurate now with the report recently that, according to a report, David Stearns, the president of baseball operations for the Brewers, will be let out of his contract after this season if the Brewers win the NL pennant and make the World Series. It doesn't matter whether he wins or loses the World Series, but as long as he gets there, that's what matters. If the Brewers do get to the World Series, Stearns' 2023 option falls away and Stearns becomes available to search elsewhere, essentially as a free agent. If Milwaukee falls short of the World Series, the contract option vests and Stearns will once again be at the helm for the Brewers next season. So bottom line, would you take a World Series appearance if it meant getting rid of Stearns? Right? I would. After getting close a few times the last 10 years, not being there since 1982, the Brewers make the World Series, I'd be okay with Stearns leaving. Now, they don't have to win the World Series. Remember that. They just have to get there to make him a free agent. And David Stearns has done wonders for this Brewers team. I have been a huge fan and continue to be a huge fan. The trade he made right before the lockout happened, Hunter Renfro coming over, getting rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. I love how David Stearns has ran this baseball organization. But if that guarantees it, you know, if they get to the World Series this year, and that means David Stearns has to be let go. Okay. But that's a fascinating clause. And the question that comes up with that is, if Stearns gets the team to the World Series this year but loses, he'd be a free agent if he wanted to be, but wouldn't he have more drive to come back and finish what he started if he loses the World Series? That's just it's a fascinating little twist that a report came out a couple of days ago about, and I thought I'd share it with you. So again, David Stearns would be a free agent after this year if the Brewers win the NL pennant and make it to the World Series. How strange is that one? Isn't that strange? I've never heard of that type of contract, but that it is what it is. So it will be interesting to see. But again, in order to get to the World Series, you need a baseball season. And this is not good. The good news is tomorrow, the MLB and the Major League Baseball Players Association will meet in the afternoon for another session of talks in hopes of making progress towards a new CBA. They need a new collective bargaining agreement in order to play baseball. And right now, they don't have it. We're in day 77 of the lockout, which means the MLB owners have locked out the players in order to try to get this deal done. It's not worked so far. They've only met 5 times total, the most recent coming on Saturday when players walked away unimpressed with the owners' modest revisions to previous proposals. And, it's ugly right now. And, with pitchers and catchers are supposed to report today, full squad workouts are supposed to begin in 5 days. And games are supposed to happen in 9 days, and that's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, and spring training is going to be delayed, and your trips to Arizona and Florida, if you had them, to go watch some spring baseball, those will have to be delayed. March 31st, opening day of Major League Baseball season, about a month and a half away, that's in jeopardy. It's really unfortunate, especially when you have a lot of people who make a lot of money, right, arguing over this. And also, you just had the COVID season a couple of years ago in 2020 when you had a shortened season and they couldn't agree then. And that set up for an even uglier time now. So we'll see what baseball has in store. Tomorrow they're talking. I would guess they don't get a deal done at least for another 2 weeks, which puts us into March, and the opening day is probably in jeopardy. It is. We'll see what happens. 3 guests coming up. Talk a little Bucks and Badgers in the last hour of the Sports Q here tonight. You're listening to WJJQ Tomahawk. Sports Q continues after the news. It is 6 o'clock.
CDC signals COVID mask change.
We are looking at an overview of much of our guidance.
In Russia,
more troops might be moving towards the Ukrainian border.
New study about violence against women.
A global phenomenon.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The CDC says COVID-19 is no longer a constant crisis, and a change could be coming soon on its mask guidance. CBS's Skylar Henry.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says hospitalization levels will be a key factor as her agency works to update pandemic guidelines in the coming weeks. Last week, new admissions were down almost 30%.
We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better.
States and local governments have already begun peeling back COVID restrictions. Most indoor masking requirements for vaccinated individuals lifted in much of California.
We're going to take off our masks, and we are so excited.
While Philadelphia is dropping its vaccine mandate for indoor dining altogether.
U.S. officials have concluded that Russia has increased its troop presence along the Ukrainian border by as many as 7,000 troops. As for a possible invasion of Ukraine, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says,
what we had conveyed last week, and you heard Jake Sullivan convey very clearly, is that we were in the window. We remain in the window.
Now, Russia claims more of its forces are pulling back from Ukraine's borders, but as CBS's Haley Ott in Kyiv reports,
here in Ukraine, officials say that they have experience with Russia saying one thing and then doing another. So they've made it very clear that Russia can say what it wants, but until they see evidence of troops withdrawing from the border themselves that they find credible, they're going to continue to remain on their guard.
A new global study from the Lancet Medical Journal calls violence against women a global problem.
This meta-survey, based on hundreds of studies involving some 2 million women over 2 decades, draws a daunting conclusion. Roughly 1 woman in 4 aged 15 and older has experienced sexual or physical violence at the hands of their male partner. And despite it being a UN goal, there has been no progress in reducing the incidence of domestic violence. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
A storm system could impact a large portion of the U.S. over the next couple of days. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says parts of the South could see major storms tonight.
Still can't rule out damaging wind and even a tornado or two. Right now, it looks to be primarily focused just north of the DFW Metroplex and just south of the Oklahoma City metro area, but both of those cities could be seeing severe weather tonight as the night rolls on.
The Denver, Colorado area is under a winter storm warning. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 55 points, NASDAQ down 16. Now this.
It's time for Dell Technologies President's Day deals on business PCs. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick, and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The FAA says it's referred 80 unruly airline passengers to the FBI since 2021. CBS's Steve Dorsey.
Most of the unruly passenger reports stem from pandemic mask compliance issues. It comes as some airlines and crew unions demand a no-fly list for passengers with a record of unruly behavior on airplanes. Delta has added nearly 2,000 people to its own no-fly list.
A federal judge is still considering whether to release Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes, who's charged with seditious conspiracy in connection with the U.S. Capitol attack. A decision is expected by Friday. The Olympic spotlight is on tonight's women's hockey gold medal match between the U.S. and Canada. CBS's Steve Futterman in Beijing.
These are clearly the top two women's hockey teams in the world. They have faced off in the last three Olympics. Canada has won two, but the U.S. did win 4 years ago. What do we expect later today? A very intense battle, a hard-hitting battle.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Your forecast for the Northwoods tonight, partial clearing and chilly, low near 4 degrees. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, high 14 with north winds up to 10 to 15. Mostly clear, we drop down to about 10 below zero Thursday night. Friday, very breezy with some light snow at times in the late morning to early evening, about an inch or so, high at 19. Winds could gust to 35 miles an hour, creating blowing and drifting. Saturday, partly cloudy, breezy, high of 19. Sunday, partly cloudy and warmer, high 33. Some snow off and on Monday and Tuesday with a couple inches possible, highs in the 20s. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
It is 27 degrees in Tomahawk.
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgart.
Welcome back to the Sports Q as we talk Wisconsin and local sports all the way until 7 o'clock here tonight on WJJQ. I am Hunter Baumgart, your host. You can feel free to follow me for sports thoughts throughout the week at on Twitter, at Hunter B on Air, on Instagram as well, at Hunter B on Air, or like the Hunter Baumgart Sports Facebook page. Coming up at 6:40, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball coach, about their season. They've got the WIA tournament coming up next week. We'll talk about that and more. We'll also talk to, at 6:50, we'll talk to Zach Hansey, Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer, who is going to represent Tomahawk at the state swim meet this weekend. Looking forward to talking with Zach. That is at 6:50 tonight. We'll get into the Bucks and Badgers on the way as well, but first, let's go out to the WJJQ hotline to talk some Packers with our first guest tonight. Joining me here tonight on the Sports Q on WJJQ, excited to welcome back and talk Packers with Andy Herman, host and owner of the Packaday Podcast. You can find his YouTube videos at Packaday Podcast as well on YouTube. And you can find him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. We love talking Packers with Andy. Andy, thanks so much for the time tonight. How are you?
Hey, you bet. Doing great. Thanks so much, as always, for having me, and excited to talk some Packers with you as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're at a time of year where we're not talking about games, but we're talking about a big offseason ahead, and we'll get to those specifics. But we haven't talked since the Packers 49ers playoff game. And obviously, we talked the week before and previewed it. Both expected the Packers to win. After that game, and after we've seen you kind of gotten 3-4 weeks to process what has happened and kind of look back at the season as a whole, how do you characterize this season? Was it a major disappointment in your eyes, a medium disappointment, you know, just a disappointment? What how do you characterize this season?
It's a really interesting question. I guess I never really thought of it in that context, but I think you always have to start with, you know, the beginning of the season in mind and what your expectations are going in. And I think if you had to ask me going into the season with what this, you know, Brian Gutekunst in the front office season, from borrowing so much from future salary caps to, you know, really hitting some home runs with Eric Stokes in the first round, Rasul Douglas, Devondre Campbell, et cetera, Dennis Kelly, even Corey Bojorquez at times, like with what they were able to do with this roster to not only maintain what was a NFC championship caliber roster from 2019 and 2020, but in my opinion, really enhance it as well. Have a back-to-back MVP season, you know, from Aaron Rodgers, have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and have the ability to go what would have amounted to 49ers at home, Rams at home, Bengals in the Super Bowl, three teams that they beat during the regular season as a path to a Lombardi trophy. And you can't win a single game in the postseason. It's really tough and difficult to look at that, especially with all the resources that they put into this season, especially with some of the hits that they were able to get in free agency and in the draft, and look at that as anything different than a pretty major disappointment. And it's always tough to say that in some regards, because when you have that successful of a regular season, you're the best team in football. You have, again, an MVP for the second straight season, you know, all pros and so on and so forth. It's really difficult and almost spoiled in a way to look at that sort of season and be like, yeah, major disappointment. But at the same token, I think when you look at it through a wider lens and look at, again, what they put into it, that this is their third season under Matt LaFleur, having the opportunity to go into the playoffs with a really good opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. And how I look at it is, in any given season, the quickest path to a Super Bowl victory, it requires three wins. And Green Bay, in three playoff runs now under Matt LaFleur, has a total of two wins in three seasons. And that's concerning, because you have to play your best football in the postseason. And for three straight seasons, Green Bay has not been able to do that, and has played far worse football in the postseason than they have during the course of those regular seasons. And I think that's something that Green Bay is going to have to adjust moving forward.
And, you know, you mentioned, of course, all the guys that were able to step in and step up throughout this season. And, you know, a lot of that was due to how many injuries this team had. Was this, you know, looking back and looking at these games closely like you do, was this a year that young players were able to take steps forward in their career because they got opportunities where there were injuries throughout this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're looking for some of these players to progress in a variety of different ways, you know, and I do think that hopefully moving forward that this leads to, you know, players being able to step up because of the opportunities that they got. I think Eric Stokes is such an amazing opportunity, you know, amazing story in that regards, and has the opportunity to take a major step because of what he was able to do. I think Rashawn Gary took a major leap in his development as not only a solid pass rusher, but a disruptor for this team moving forward. I just think that this team is still going to have a lot of young talent, regardless of what happens, you know, moving forward with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, et cetera, and a lot of other players on this roster. This team is still has a lot of young talent and high-end talent that's going to be locked up in some capacity, whether that's Elgton Jenkins, David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, John Runyon Jr., Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, even guys like T.J. Slayton, who I think have the opportunity to take a major step. You know, you look at, you know, corner again, Eric Stokes, Jaire Alexander, Darnell Savage. There's a lot of really young and intriguing talent on this team, which makes, you know, even if they have to go the rebuild route, which I'm not sold that they're going to have to in any regards, but even if they do, you have to look at that and say, hey, like they have younger, better talent than arguably any team in the division. And that's still a really important thing to look at moving forward.
No doubt, and some pieces to build around for sure. Andy Herman joining us here on the Sports Q, host and owner of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Find him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. And Andy, you know, one of the things that I noticed and throughout the Rams playoff run and then, of course, their Super Bowl win was the effect that Odell Beckham Jr. had on that Rams offense. Did that get you thinking about, at all about, you know, what could have been for the Packers? And do you think that would have maybe made a difference when it came to the 49ers and getting that one more wide receiver piece to go for this playoff run?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's always a difficult, you know, way to look at it, because I think in a couple different ways. One, you know, you're never really expecting to be, you know, missing a guy like MBS, you know, for that game. So I think he would have made a difference had he played. And maybe that's all the difference that it would have needed. Maybe one more weapon against San Francisco like MBS, and just having to, you know, really sort of, you know, account for his deep ball ability. Maybe that would have changed things quite a bit. So I think it's tough to say in that regards. I think the other thing you can also say is, from an Aaron Rodgers standpoint, is you go back and you watch the tape, and yes, there were absolutely plays where he was pressured, and yes, there were absolutely plays that guys just weren't getting open. There were a lot of plays where guys were getting open, and Rodgers just didn't see the field all that well on that day. And sometimes that happens, but I don't necessarily think that you can say it's a complete apples to apples and say, listen, if they had one more, you know, big time wide receiver, like, that would have made the difference. You still have to play your best, and there were still opportunities to be made in that game, and Green Bay, and specifically Aaron Rodgers, didn't make those, unfortunately. Now, that being said, you know, when I went and watched the Rams play the 49ers right after the Packers played the 49ers, and of course 49ers getting that victory, you know, you were seeing Cooper Kupp get open in that game. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why are the, you know, 49ers not taking Kupp out of the game the same way that they did Devontae Adams? Mm-hmm. And you realize, well, yeah, it's because Odell Beckham's on the other side and they can't just let him go one-on-one, and they have to account for him too. And I do think that made a major difference. And when you're getting pressured, and when you are looking to guys early in the game and they're not getting open, like was the case against the 49ers, you're going to have a tendency to go say, you know what, I'm looking for Devontae here. I think some of those big plays that we saw earlier in the season from Devontae and Rodgers, where he was double covered and Rodgers was still fitting in the ball to him and Adams was still making the play, at the time you're like, yeah, this is unbelievable. Like, Adams is unstoppable. But in likelihood, those aren't like super repeatable processes, right? Like, pretty amazing plays that you have to have a quarterback and a wide receiver being basically perfect on those plays. I think sometimes I can give a quarterback a false sense of confidence that, hey, I can go to this guy whenever I want. I think to some extent that hurt in San Francisco, where it got to be a feeling of, you know what, we're just going to go to Devontae and we can fit it in and make it work no matter what. It's not quite always the case, and it was almost a detriment against the 49ers.
That's an interesting point. And speaking of Devontae Adams, of course, we'll get to, you know, some of the different decisions the Packers have to make. And I do want to turn now to the offseason, because, you know, it's a fascinating one, and we're going to get a lot of answers probably in the next month or so. But you know, you put an interesting poll question out there today on Twitter, and I wanted to ask your opinion on it. You know, you turned your poll question on yourself, but you said, let's say the choice monetarily came down to Devontae or Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, and MBS, which would you rather have? And obviously three players that were big parts of the Packers' success this season, or one of the best wide receivers in the game, if not the best. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, it's a really loaded question, and one that takes a lot of nuance to answer, which makes it a fun Twitter question, because of course you don't get any of that when you're answering it. So
right.
I think on the surface, if I'm just answering it based on how I posted on Twitter, and just to clarify, I did post on Twitter as well that we're taking sort of Aaron Rodgers out of the equation and saying that he's not tied to Devontae Adams in this situation. I tend to lean a little bit towards Campbell, MBS, and Rasul Douglas, but can certainly make an argument either way. But why I think this is a nuanced discussion is, A, I think, of course, the Rodgers piece does matter. And B, more importantly, not only of, like, are those two linked at the hip, and if Adams is not back, does that mean Rodgers isn't back? But, I mean, more importantly, just what does Rodgers do overall? If Rodgers is gone, I'm much more apt to say, hey, this needs to be sort of a rebuild. And a lot of these guys, based on their age and where they're at in their career, I'm not super stoked about giving a long-term deal to, when, you know, the next 3-4 years, when they're potentially in their primes, are like still really good football players. Green Bay's probably not competing at the highest of levels during those times. So you just have to look at what window is open during those certain situations. However, I'll ultimately say this. To me, and I know this this is almost feels blasphemous to say, and I should probably preface it by saying Devontae Adams might literally be my favorite Packer of all time, not only to watch, but to cover and everything. So it doesn't make it easy to say this, but to me, one of the easiest decisions of the offseason is if Devontae's closer to that $28 to $30 million range per season at 29 years old, I just don't think that that makes the most sense for Green Bay, whether Rodgers is back or not, to move forward with that deal. Outside of the probably releasing Za'Darius Smith, which I think is the easiest decision of the offseason, frankly, letting Adams walk at that price, and especially if you can get draft pick compensation back, whether that be via a trade or just a third-round comp pick next season, at that price, to me, that probably becomes the second easiest decision for me.
That's interesting. And then you look at, of course, the other names on this team and who could be back and who could be gone. What are some names that you think that are just either gone for sure or likely to make cap room?
Yeah, I mean, again, so much of this is trickle because it starts with Aaron Rodgers and is he back or not, and are they having that sort of all-in approach? And that's why it's so important for Rodgers to make that decision sooner rather than later. Because remember, they kind of got caught last year where they took that all-in approach, and then Rodgers and all the drama came and maybe wanting a trade and not wanting back and things like that. And they really couldn't at that point. They're like, we already built this team for an all-in 2020 run. If we trade you now, we just did all of those moves and all those restructures and all that borrowing from the future for nothing. So I think Rodgers making that decision first, like, almost has to be that. But you can go right down the line, whether it's Devontae Adams easily could have played his last game, along the defensive side of the ball. Adrian Amos is a really interesting question mark as to whether or not he'll be back. I think Za'Darius, as I mentioned, is the easiest low-hanging fruit. Right now I'm leaning towards Preston being back on some sort of extension. Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell, it's going to all depend on how much money they want and are they willing to give Green Bay any sort of discount. And a lot of that's going to be dependent upon as well is if Adams and Rodgers are getting huge contracts, it's just not going to leave money for much else. Billy Turner's a guy I think could be gone. Dean Lowry could be gone. There's a lot. Mason Crosby, another one. Corey Bojorquez is an interesting unrestricted free agent. Alan Lazard at $4 million, if they give him the second round tender, is not an easy decision. MVS is probably gone. Like, it just, you go throughout this roster, and I posted a laundry list of players towards the end of the season saying, like, hey, Randall Cobb is another, like, a lot of the guys that are your favorite Packers may have just played their last game as a Packer. Not all of them. There's a lot of the guys I just named are probably going to be back in some capacity, but there's going to be five or six guys probably at minimum that aren't, and it's just going to be a very different Packer team next year.
It is. And last question for you, Andy Herman joining us here, host and owner of the Pack a Day podcast. Last question for you. What do you think Rodgers does?
Yeah. And I've kind of held the same stance all the way along. My feeling now might change 5 minutes from now based on some different report that we get or whatever.
Yeah, but right.
As of right now, I feel more confident than I probably have in a while that I do think he's going to be back. I still think there's some interesting sort of red flags that are out there, but I think with the Packers really making a concerted effort to say, hey, we're all in, we want him back, everyone in the building's on the same page, they're handling that a lot differently than they did in the past. They are making it well known to Aaron that he is the guy, he is their legend, they want him both now and into the future. I think a lot of the cases, that's what Aaron's wanted, right? Just this approach that, you know, Green Bay's not taking this half and half approach to say, hey, well, we'll see what happens in 2 years. They're saying, no, you're the guy. We want you, and we want you back in everything. So that's sort of what Rodgers has wanted all along. We've also heard from Rodgers to say, you know, hey, things are good with Brian and, you know, loves his coaching staff. And he's gone, like, it seems to be in just a 1,000,000% better place than it was a season ago. And I think you can make a strong argument that if Green Bay does take that all-in approach, which is, again, something that Rodgers has said that he wanted, that the NFC and Green Bay is its best opportunity to win and win a Super Bowl this upcoming season, whereas in Denver, you know, the Raiders, et cetera, you're going against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and, oh, by the way, Josh Allen, and so on and so forth. So I just think overall it still seems to be, you know, Occam's razor. It seems to be the most obvious thing, but no twist or turn would shock me at this point.
Right, and hopefully we'll have an answer sooner rather than later. Like you said, a lot of the team hinges on that one decision and which route they take. Andy, always appreciate the time and really enjoy the conversation, and we'll see how the next, you know, month or so goes, and I'm guessing we'll talk again down the road this offseason.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Hunter. Appreciate it.
That is Andy Herman, Packers reporter and host and owner of the Packaday podcast. You can find him on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Man, I love talking to Andy. He's just, and you know, he's one of our more frequent guests here on the Sports Queue, and there's a reason for it. I mean, he, like I've said multiple times, he takes things that could be complicated and just puts them in layman's terms and really describes them well, and, you know, has well thought out takes and opinions, and just a fantastic, fantastic Packers guest. So I really appreciate Andy's time when he does join us here on the Sports Queue, and just for behind the scenes. I mean, I ask him and he's 99.9% of the time he says, yes, you know, let's do it blah, blah at this time, and we make it work. So really appreciate it to Andy Herman and for hopping on the Sports Queue tonight. And like I said, hope to talk to him again in the near future. You know, one of the things he talked about, and coming up, we'll talk a little Bucks and Badgers on the way. But one of the things I wanted to react to a little bit, he talked about, you know, that question I posed, that he posed originally, but then I posed back at him, was, would you want Davante Adams solely, or would you want Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Rasul Douglas, and Devondre Campbell all back? I don't know if I agree with him where he said Campbell, Douglas, and Marcus Valdes-Scantling. I would love Marcus Valdes-Scantling, especially if you don't have Devontae, because then your wide receiver position is depleted a little bit. As much as good as Lazard is, as good as MVS is, you're going to need a position. You're going to need a player at that position. And so MVS is a good guy to kind of build around, so to speak, in that, and that he could be a number one. He's not going to be a number one like Devontae, but he could be. But I don't think I agree with him in the fact that I think I'd want Davante Adams back, because I think I'd want one of the best wide receivers in football back. And I get that it's one player compared to three players, but think of what Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell brought to this defense. It was significant this year. But do you think they can do that again? There's a reason Devondre Campbell was still a free agent in the summer. There's a reason Rasul Douglas spent time on multiple teams before landing with the Packers. As good as they were this past season, I'm not sure that they can repeat it again in 2022. Now, could they? Sure. And could I, you know, could that happen, right? Where they let go of Campbell, they let go of Douglas, and they go and perform highly on other teams? Sure. And I wouldn't mind keeping them. I 100% would love to keep them. But if it came to them and MBS or Davante Adams, then I think I'd choose Davante Adams. Now, it also does hinge on Rodgers. And that's what Andy Herman said. He's like, it's hard to take Rodgers out of this, because if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, you need all the help you can get at other positions. So then maybe I would go the other three. Because if Rodgers isn't here, Devontae's probably not here. So, well, again, it does hinge on Rodgers, but I think it's a fascinating conversation. But I think the thing I worry about with some of these guys that really performed well this year, that were journeymen, so to speak, Devondre Campbell and especially Rasul Douglas, as good as they were this year, I just don't know if they can repeat it. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's I'm not exactly sure that they can. So that kind of gives me a little bit of pause when I, you know, see those types of questions, or do I want this guy back versus this guy? Because Davante Adams is as proven as it comes, and he's in the prime of his career. Meanwhile, you've got three other guys who, you know, Devondre Campbell, free agent in the summer, Rasul Douglas, off of a couple of different teams, practice squad, etc. And MVS, who's good. He could take a top off a defense, but is he going to be that guy that you need him to be when Davante Adams leaves? I'm not sure. So that was an interesting question and fun to talk about with Andy, as were all those topics. And we'll look forward to seeing what happens with the Packers postseason is wrapped up and the Super Bowl's done as well. Let's take a look at some basketball notes. Bucks and Badgers basketball both beat up on teams from Indiana last night. We'll talk about that. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet's girls basketball coach. And at 6:50, we'll talk to Zach Hansey, Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimmer, who's representing Tomahawk at the state meet. It's all coming up in the last half hour of the show on the Big Q.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
During the President's Day event going on all month long at Brickner's Park City Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram in Merrill, take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months, plus a generous $2,000 rebate on Ram 1500 Quad Cab Bighorns. Ram Crew Cab Bighorn models also get the 0% offer for 72, plus a $1,000 rebate. Choose one of our demo units and save even more. Brickner's Park City has Ram trucks in stock with another 30 units scheduled or on the way, including two Ram 2500 regular cabs and three Ram Power Wagons. Now is the time to pick out your new truck and beat any potential further price increases. Over on the Jeep side of the Brickner's and Merrill lot, you will find a nice selection of the all-new Jeep Grand Cherokee L Extended model, or you'll be amazed at the lease deals on the last run of 10 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee WK models. Don't see what you want? Let's order it for you, and it should be here in 75 to 120 days. There's always a whole lot of good going on at Brickner's Park City Jeep Chrysler Dodge and Ram in Merrill, 1-800-499-JEEP, or on the web at bricknersparkcity.net. Financing to qualified credit through Chrysler Capital.
The Animal Clinic of Tomahawk has NexGard and HeartGard. Get a $25 instant rebate on 6 purchased doses of each. Buy 12 HeartGard and 6 NexGard and get a $35 instant rebate. Buy 12 of each and get a $60 instant rebate. Cheaper than anything you can buy online. Your pup deserves to be protected. See Dr. Julie at the Animal Clinic of Tomahawk for all of your heartworm, flea, and tick products. They have both the products and the expert advice. Your pet deserves both. From the Animal Clinic of Tomahawk.
Warm ovens and great smells aren't the only reason people love working at Country Hearth. Job security at a third-generation family-owned company, great pay and benefits, and the opportunity to rise within the company are also in the mix. Besides production, there are a lot of other positions throughout the bakery. Maintenance fixes and maintains machines. Sanitation keeps the machinery and facility clean and safe. Shipping coordinates getting products from point A to point B, and there are delivery driver positions too. Are you ready to find the best fit for you? Find out more and apply today at countryhearthjobs.com.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter Baumgart, your host. Feel free to like the Facebook page if you want to hear from me during the week or just previews of the Sports Q. Feel free to follow me at Hunter Baumgart Sports on the Hunter Baumgart Sports Facebook page or on Twitter at Hunter B on Air or on Instagram at Hunter B on Air as well. About a half hour left of the program. 10 minutes from now, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet girls basketball coach. 6:50, we'll talk to Zach Hansey, Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer, swimming at state this weekend. A couple of guests to end the show. But we got to talk a little basketball. Bucks and Badgers, both in their really throes of their season. Milwaukee Bucks getting a win last night. Let's start with them. The pro team beat the Pacers 128-119. Giannis scores 50. That's the first time he scored 50 points since Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Such a different team with Giannis. They are such a different team. I mean, just look at the last two nights in contrast. Portland beats them 122-107 on Monday without Giannis. And then Giannis comes back. He scores 50, and the Bucks beat Indiana 128-119. I think they beat Portland with Giannis. If Giannis plays, I think they beat Portland two nights ago. Now, does it concern you a little with how different they do play with Giannis? We've seen it a few times already this year. This isn't the first time where they have underperformed without Giannis when they did on Monday. Does it concern you a little that, knock on wood, if Giannis has to miss an extended period of time, they might be in deep trouble? I think it begs the question a little bit, but I think the acquisition of Serge Ibaka should help with that, and the fact that he can help on the defensive side, he's a big. But without Brooke Lopez, I think we see this team struggle more when Giannis is out. And so I think that's one of the things you have to watch out for. Brooke Lopez has been out throughout the season. He has that back injury. They're hoping he's back for the playoffs or maybe the last month. Who knows at this point? But I think it's something to watch for. If they don't have Brooke and they don't have Giannis on the floor, that's when it seems they do struggle more. But when we really think about it, how much does this Bucks regular season matter? And we haven't talked about it a ton on this show, because it just doesn't matter a whole lot. It's fun when they win, maybe a little disappointing when they lose. But to be honest, this is the second time in my life that a team that I love is competing the next season after winning a title. The only other time was when the Packers won it in 2010, and they came back in 2011. And that season was you were following along with that season, number one, because of the Packers. They play once a week. The Bucs play like two or three times a week. But the Packers were going for an undefeated season that year. If you remember, they went, what was it, 11-0, 12-0? They went in November or maybe even December undefeated. Then they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. I remember listening to that game in the car, and they lost just unexpectedly to the Chiefs. And then, of course, to the Giants in the playoffs, which was awful. And that was the start of playoff collapses for the next 10 years. But we can push that aside. But, you know, it's after you win a title, you really are playing with house money. And I'm not getting upset over Bucks' loss. I'm just enjoying Bucks basketball. And that's what I think a lot of fans are going through. And if you have any thoughts, 715-453-4481. If you have any thoughts on anything we're saying, feel free to give me a call. You know, any thoughts on what Andy Herman had to say, 715-453-4481. Would love to include you on the show. But they're also on national TV a lot, which is great because I think it's great exposure for Milwaukee. I think winning that title was great exposure for Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin. So it's fun to have them on national TV, whether it's on ESPN or TNT, whatever, station, ABC. But it's just kind of enjoying the ride, so to speak. There's not that stress of, man, oh man, is this team going to get a good seed for the playoffs? Because you look at this Eastern Conference right now, and it's wild. It really is. When you look at these teams that are at the top, the Miami Heat are at number one, and okay, they're 37-21. The Bulls are tied for first. I mean, they're second technically because of tiebreaker, but they're 37-21 as well. And then it's the Bucks, and then it's the Cavaliers. And you look at the division that the Bucks play in. I mean, three of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference are from their own division. And I believe it's the Central Division because I don't actually know 100%. I think it's the Central, but basketball divisions matter absolutely none. Like, it does not matter, the division in basketball. Because it's all based off of conference seeding. So the Bucks, you know, they could win their division, but they could be the sixth seed. Because winning your division does absolutely nothing, because they just take the top eight teams, no matter the standings in the division. But I thought that was interesting that the Bucks are actually playing tougher teams this year because they've got a couple of teams that are in the top of the East in their division. So you've got what you would have in the first round right now is Bulls, Raptors. You'd have Heat, Nets. The Nets are an 8 seed right now. The Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, right? This was supposed to be the big three. Well, Kyrie Irving's only playing half the time because of the vaccine mandates, and he's not vaccinated. And then also James Harden just got traded to the 76ers because he didn't want to be there anymore. Gosh, how many teams is that guy going to force himself out of? And then Kevin Durant's looking around like, what in the world? And he's hurt right now. They just went on an 11-game skid. They finally won the other night, so now they're 30-27. But they're like 2 games out of being out of the playoffs right now. Now, do I think they'll rise? Sure, a little bit. But without James Harden and with Kyrie Irving only playing half the time? I don't know. I don't think they're a threat. I thought they were going to be a big threat coming into this season. But you take out Kyrie and you take out James Harden, and it's Kevin Durant and a bunch of guys. They traded James Harden for, you know, Ben Simmons and others, but I don't think they can equal what James Harden is. And so it's interesting because you've got Bucks at the 3 seed. They'd play the Celtics, and then you'd have Cavs 76ers at 4-5. But the Bucks are and the Cavs are a half a game within each other. And the Cavaliers are so impressive when it comes to how young they are and what they've been able to do this year. You know, they're 35-23 now, but they've lost a couple in a row, so they were 35-21. But the Bucks are sitting at the 3 seed right now in the Eastern Conference. And does the seeding matter? I mean, you wouldn't really want to play the 76ers, I feel like, in the first round. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter. I'd rather not be the 4-5 against the 76ers in the first round, but we're not even to the All-Star game. And the All-Star break is this weekend. So I think the Eastern Conference standings, not that they matter a whole lot, but I thought it was just interesting. You've got the Heat at 1, the Bulls at 2, Bucks at 3, Cavs at 4, 76ers at 5, Celtics at 6, Raptors at 7, and Nets at 8, and then the Hornets and the Hawks. I'm surprised with the Hawks. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They're right now sitting as the 10 seed in the East with a record of 27-30. So anyway, that's the Bucks. Giannis, by the way, he leads the NBA in points per game right now at 29.4. He is tied for 64th in the league in minutes per game. Talk about efficient. How about the Badgers? They're fantastic as well. Another gutsy win for the Badgers last night, 74-69 over Indiana. Johnny Davis, 30 points, 12 rebounds. Brad Davison gets out of his slump with 21 points and 7 boards. And Johnny Davis now has 3 games this season of at least 30 points. He's only the 10th Badger ever to do that. Yeah, can you believe that? Only 10 Badgers ever have scored 30 in three games in a season. Also, you talk about sustained success. The Badgers now have won 20 games in 17 of the last 20 seasons. 17 of the last 20 seasons, the Badgers have won 20 games. That is incredible. They're 20-5 right now. And you look at the rest of their schedule, and it's doable. It really is. They host unranked Michigan on Sunday. Then they go to unranked Minnesota. Then they go to unranked Rutgers, who I know just beat them. The big game is going to be at the Kohl Center March 1st, hosting Purdue. Purdue's ranked 5th. Wisconsin's ranked 15th. And then they finish out the season hosting Nebraska. So they've got 2 home games to finish the year. They've got 5 total games left. 3 of them are in Madison. And the 2 road games are at Minnesota and Rutgers. And I know Rutgers has been kind of the bugaboo in some ranked team sides this year, but got to think they can win that game. And you look at the Big Ten standings right now for the Badgers as they go for this regular season title. They're sitting at 11-4, which is a half game behind top-seeded Illinois. Got Illinois, Purdue, and Wisconsin all with 11 wins right now in conference in the Big Ten. So it's going to come down to probably those 3, Ohio State 9-4, Michigan State 9-5, sitting on the outside looking in kind of at that top 3. But we'll see. Badgers next game, home against Michigan on Sunday. That's a noon tip-off. Bucks next game is tomorrow night, hosting the 76ers at Fiserv Forum. All right, we're going to switch gears, talk some local sports next. John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet, girls basketball coach, will join me next in the Sports Q.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
Check out these $2 savings items at Tomahawk Ace Hardware. Save $2 on Scott 200 count shop towels or rags in a box. Save $2 on select Scotch Blue multi-purpose painter's tape in the 3-pack. And save $2 on select Duracell batteries during February at Tomahawk Ace Hardware. Ace is the place with the help. Another red hot buy from Tomahawk Ace.
Every day to earn your praise, leading the Northwoods forward, Tomahawk Community Bank.
Our local businesses work hard to bring great products and services to all of us. Hi, this is Audrey from Tomahawk Community Bank, Merrill Community Bank, our local branch location. Buying locally impacts the whole community, and our local businesses need our support, and we need theirs. Value, friendly service, and local ownership bring quality and satisfaction to all of us. Besides convenience, you are also doing business with people you know and trust and who have more in common with you than you might think. Each local purchase has a ripple effect to other local businesses and households. From all of us at Tomahawk Community Bank and Merrill Community Bank, we invite you to keep it local. It's a great investment.
Leading the Northwoods forward, Tomahawk Community Bank.
Yes, it's February. Yes, we have snow and cold, but now is the time to plan for that new swimming pool the family's been talking about, available at the Pool People. The Pool People now offering 15% off all in-stock swimming pools. Stop in, check out the selection, and save 15% off on the in-stock pools. The Pool People also has a very nice selection of spas to choose from. Right now, you can save an additional 10% off the base price of your favorite spa. For more family fun, the Pool People is also offering 20% off all in-stock billiard and shuffleboard tables. So this year, complete that dream of your backyard pool with 15% off the in-stock selection of pools, 10% off the base price on spas in stock, and your favorite billiard and shuffleboard tables, 20% off the in-stock selection this month. Browse online at poolpeople.com or stop by the location near you, Rhinelander, Schofield, and Stevens Point, for the Pool People. It's been a cold Northwoods winter. How's your furnace holding up? Might be a good time to call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever.
Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner, and they offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing your furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter today and for many years to come. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online go to premierheatingcooling.com or call 453-4700.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter. Talking Wisconsin to local sports till 7 o'clock. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Zach Hansey going to join me. Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer representing Tomahawk at the state meet this weekend. We'll talk to him at about 10. Right now, let's talk some Tomahawk girls basketball, the WJJQ hotline. Joining me here next on the Sports Q tonight is the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball team, and that is head coach John Long. And John, we've talked throughout the season. Can't believe it's already the last week of the regular season, and the tournament starts in less than 7 days. Season always goes by fast, doesn't it?
Wow, this one really flew by. Absolutely, yeah. Hunter. It didn't seem like it was that long ago. We were day one of practice.
No doubt about that. And, you know, when you look back, you know, you've had, obviously, you guys came in on basically, you know, day one of practice. The coaching staff came in. And how has it been, you know, adjusting to, you know, coaching through this season? It sounds like, you know, obviously, as your first season, probably a whirlwind a little bit.
It's definitely a whirlwind. I think you know, because we didn't, you know, we didn't even meet the girls until day one, or technically it was day two of practice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were behind the eight ball for sure, but I can't say enough about this group of girls. They've taken everything that we've thrown at them, and they've worked their tails off day in, day out. And it's really been fun to see the improvement from that day one to where we are now.
No doubt about it. What are a couple of ways in which they have improved throughout this last couple of months season?
You know, we threw a lot of stuff at them early, and we kind of, you know, throw it at the wall and see what sticks kind of philosophy. And we found out real quickly, you know, what worked. And we were able to kind of focus in on that. And then we also, you know, focused on skill development. We had to get better at dribbling, passing, shooting, you know, those fundamentals. And so we tried to find a balance between skill work and also try and get done what we wanted to get done in terms of an offensive and a defensive philosophy. So the girls did a great job of really eating up everything that we gave to them. And I think if you looked at our film from the first 3-4 games to the last 3-4 games, you'd see a dramatic difference. I think that they are really understanding what we want to do defensively and also offensively at the same time. I think that the skill development has been there, but also just an understanding of basketball.
Exactly. And a lot of times, you know, you can get the physical traits down, but it's just as much in your head and just understanding, you know, at different situations and things like that, which obviously so many games help with that. You know, I bet it's rewarding as well as a coach to see something, you know, you instituted the first week, now, you know, see so much improvement throughout the season.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about, Hunter. Mm-hmm. When you can, you know, take a group like this and see them improve, you know, on a daily basis, but certainly on a game by game basis. You know, you certainly have some, you know, two steps forward and one step back, but to see those two steps forward week in, week out, that's special, you know, and that's really what you're looking for as a coach.
John Long joining us here on the Sports Q, Tomahawk Hatchet girls basketball coach. And, you know, one of the ways, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the season, but what ways have you seen this team come together as a group, you know, from the very first day to now?
Well, it's been an interesting group because, as you know, the composition of the team is a little unorthodox. We've got four seniors. Mm-hmm. We have a couple juniors, a couple sophomores, and then five freshmen. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, I think it's taken a while for the team to meld, and you know, for you to throw out what class are you in and just call it a basketball team regardless of what class they're in, that took some adjustment, and it took adjustment for the girls to adjust to the coaching staff and vice versa. You know, it's been a process, but it's been good. It's been fun. I think that the coaches have probably learned about as much as the kids have. You know, it's fun to get a group like this in here that's willing to work and listen and do the things we ask and give us feedback as coaches and for the coaches then to adjust. But, you know, it's It's been a I would mark it as a successful season regardless of our record.
Sure, and you know, one of the games that you guys just played was against Rib Lake last night. You know, you lost the game, but what were some of the positives you took from that game last night?
You know, we've kind of done this all season where we go in these spurts where you can see it for a 4 or 5 or 6 minute clip where, you know, we box out really well or we really play half court defense really well. Or, you know, last night I thought that we went in spurts offensively where we really moved the ball around and we got our shooters some open looks. You know, Claire Albert had a really nice game, and it was, you know, a team effort too. A lot of girls got some nice shots and we were hitting some things from outside. It was definitely our best game from a 3-point standpoint. But also in these stretches, we fought and clawed and, you know, diving on the ground after balls and probably the best thing I can say about this group is they never give up regardless of what the scoreboard looks like. They fight to the very end.
That's awesome. And so when you look at, especially when it comes to tournament time, you know, you never know how those games can go if you just keep fighting. And when you look at, obviously, tournament starting next week, we end near the end of the regular season, one more game on Friday. Do you feel like your team is, you know, you've said they've obviously improved throughout the season, kind of playing its best at the end of the year, like as a coach you'd want?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we play a tough schedule in terms of, you know, our conference is not an easy conference with Mosinee, Lakeland, Rhinelander there at the top, Medford really fights, Antigo fights, Eagle River, Pines, you know, they fight as well. So it's a dogfight. And then we do our non-conference schedule. You go to a place like Rib Lake where, you know, it's a team that's heavy with seniors and they come right at you for, you know, the entire game. I think that prepares you to go into, you know, the postseason and be able to give it a run. And we, at the beginning of the season, we didn't know how things were going to go. We looked at the schedule and we said, hey, you know, our goal is let's get 6 wins. You know, let's really focus on going after teams and let's get to 6 wins. Friday was our last chance at it. We're sitting at 5 wins. We have a really good shot, I think, of going to Goodman Pembine and getting that 6th win if we, you know, do all the things that we continue to work on. 6 wins gives us the most wins in the girls' basketball program since 2011, 2012, I believe. So I think that's a major step in the right direction. And also I think that momentum can carry into our game on Tuesday at the regional at the Menominee Indians.
No doubt about that. John Long joining us for just a minute or two longer here, Hatchett's girls basketball coach. And, you know, like you mentioned, you have Goodman Pembine on Friday and then Menominee Indian coming up in the regional on Tuesday. Is it prepping for Goodman Pembine completely right now, or have you taken a glance at that regional matchup?
You know, I think practice-wise, you know, we're going to focus on the first game in front of us. I think from a coaching perspective, I'm bouncing back and forth between the films of Goodman Pembine and trying to prepare for the Menominee Indians too, because they're a really good basketball team and we're going to have to play well against them. But first and foremost, you don't want to overlook any opponents. So we got to take care of business on Friday. So that means the next 2 days, we got to prepare for a Goodman Pembine.
And earn that 6th win, as we just discussed earlier. Well, John, I really appreciate the time tonight. Looking forward to Friday night's game. And then, of course, the Menominee Indian matchup on Tuesday night in the WI Regional. And we'll have that game for you here on WJJQ. John, appreciate the time and good luck on Friday.
Sounds great, Hunter. Thank you very much for the time.
That is John Long, Tomahawk Hatchett's girls basketball coach, joining me here on the Sports Q tonight. And as I mentioned, we'll have the Hatchett's girls basketball team on Tuesday night at Menominee Indian in the first round of the WIAA tournament. Love tournament time. Absolutely love it. We've got Hatchett hockey coming up tomorrow night when the Tomahawk Hatchett's hockey team is going to be on the road at Rhinelander. And they are going to be in the WIAA tournament and looking forward to that one coming up tomorrow night in Rhinelander. And that is going to be 6:35, Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show, 7 o'clock, opening faceoff in the first round of the WIAA tournament, Hatchett's and Hodegs. You can hear from head coach Chris Pembinster coming up before the opening faceoff tomorrow night on the Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show. Then on Friday night, we are going to talk to Zach Hansey in just a moment. He's competing in the WIA State Swim Meet. We'll get to that in a moment. Then on Saturday, Hatchett Wrestling Team sending 7 individuals to the WIA Sectional Meet at Okano Falls High School. Good luck to Presley Gutbrod, Drew Tollefson, Addison Pisig, Mason Evans, Logan Bishop, Micah Arnott, and Marcus Maddy. And they are going to be competing for a spot at state. Opening round is at 10:30 a.m. We'll preview the meet at about 10:20. We'll have all-day coverage of the sectional meet with the top 3 finishers advancing to state coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to it. All right, let's go back out to the WJJQ hotline and talk to one of the Tomahawk hatchets that is state-bound. Joining me now on the Sports Q, really excited to welcome to the program Tomahawk High School junior boys swimmer Zach Hansey. And Zach will be representing the Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimming team at the state meet coming up this weekend in Waukesha. And Zach, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem at all. And looking forward to talking about what's coming up this weekend. Let's first go back to what happened this past weekend at the sectional meet. What led to your success in qualifying in two different events?
Well, I really want to thank like Melissa and my like team. They really pushed me a lot during like the season. Like she obviously knows how to like work me in the right ways to like push me to get my time. There's like, I don't know, I just, like, love swimming, and, like, also, like, my friend from the other swim teams that really pushed me, like, Jack Antonak, he's one of my best friends. We just go head-to-head in every event. So, like, he really helped me push. So did she. They just kept cheering me on, so that just kind of pushed me.
That's fantastic. And, you know, swimming is an individual sport in a sense, but also I'm sure the team, you know, supports each other greatly, and even the competitors, it sounds like, as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. That is awesome. What kind of support have you received, you know, from your team this year?
Well, they always call me the state swimmer boy because last year I qualified for state.
Okay.
So it's like a reoccurring thing where like Paige will be like, oh yeah, state swimmer boy, how's it going? And like, will just talk to me as if like I'm going to qualify again. And I did. So like, I appreciate it. But like he's always pushing me. He's always like making jokes. He's like, oh, you should be faster than that. Like, you know, like kind of joking around like that I'm slow, but like I'm not. And like they just all push me, like especially Jack and Sam. They really like help push me. Trey is funny. Like they all just like help me out. So
that is awesome. And, you know, you guys have a smaller team, but I'm guessing it's really close knit as you've went throughout the season.
Oh, yeah. With only having six, we all get one lane in the pool. So it's kind of like we're spread out, but like we're very close. So it's really nice.
That's awesome. Zach Hansey joining us here on the Sports Q. Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer representing Tomahawk at the state meet this weekend. So you're going to state in the 200 IM and the 100 breaststroke. Do you have a favorite event of the two, or is it maybe a different event that you like more but you qualified in these, or do you have a favorite?
My favorite's the 100 breaststroke. I've just like been a breaststroker my entire swim career, so.
Gotcha. And do you have more what would be a reason that you enjoy that one?
You know, I really don't know. Like, it's just a relaxing stroke for me, I guess.
Okay.
It's just like my safe bet that I can always rely on.
Sure. It totally makes sense. And so let's go back a little bit. How long have you been swimming competitively or just, you know, in the pool?
So I started swimming 11 years ago.
Okay.
And I think competitively, at the age of 12 was when I started, like, I made it to state and club at 12. And then from there, I've just always made it.
Gotcha. That's fantastic. So when you talk to athletes sometimes and they're like, you know, there's a certain moment or a certain year where you kind of think back and that was kind of like, man, I really, really love this. Was there a time for you, you know, whether it's the last couple of years, whether it's way before that, when you were younger, that you're kind of like, wow, I really, really love swimming?
I feel, when I was getting, so last year I said when I broke the conference record and beat Jack, that was when I was like, this is the sport for me. Like, this is what I love to do. And then freshman year, swimming with like Travis Phillips, Team Jed, Brady, Chugum, like them, they were like, they pushed me even more. And like, I just was like, this is the sport for me. Like, I want to do this.
That's awesome. That is awesome to hear. And so Zach Hansey joining us for just a minute or two longer here on the Sports Q, Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimmer. And so, you know, when you look at what's coming up this weekend at state, does your preparation change this week knowing you are swimming at state, or are you trying to keep things as much the same as possible?
I kind of keep them the same. Like, okay, state kind of puts the pressure on you, but, like, you don't really feel it until you're about to dive in the water. So, like, I just try to make it, like, the same routine, same stuff, like, keep it kind of same schedule.
Yeah, and since you were there last year, what kind of, you know, the experience, what part of the experience from last year are you kind of drawing on this year to say, okay, you know, I did this or I learned this last year, so I'm going to do this maybe differently this year when I go to state?
Well, with last year having a bit of COVID, it was very like restricted, and like you had to stay in your area, like you're kind of closed. So like I knew like this is where I need to be at this time. This like so I very have a good structure of like going into state. Mm-hmm. So, but this year I hope like I can like branch out more, talk to more people, you know, hang out with like others. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, finally, last question for you, you know, kind of how excited are you to represent Tomahawk on Friday at the state meet?
Oh, I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, we're looking forward to it. We'll be cheering you on. And Zach, really appreciate the time tonight.
Yep. Thank you.
That is Zach Hansey, Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimmer, junior over at Tomahawk High School, and he'll be representing Tomahawk at the state swim meet in Waukesha coming up on Friday night. The opening event there is at 5:30, and he'll be swimming at some point after that on Friday night. So good luck to Zach, and really appreciate, love my conversation with Zach, and appreciated his time, and always fun to talk to the athletes in our community and coaches here. They are just, you know, it's everyone that I've, you know, continued to, you know, come in contact with, it's coaches and it's athletes, super fun to talk to, and Zach was exactly that. So appreciate Zach's willingness to come on the Sports Q here tonight and talk a little bit about the WIA State Swim Meet coming up this weekend at Waukesha. So good luck to Zach. Well, that's going to close to wrap it up here. We've got about 2 minutes left of the program. And we've got, if you want to share your thoughts on anything, feel free, 715-453-4481. But otherwise, coming up this week, we've got, like I mentioned, the NBA All-Star Game is this weekend, and the Bucks are going to be off. So if you're looking for Bucks basketball this weekend, it is not going to be happening. The NBA All-Star Game is coming up on Sunday, and that is going to be at 7 o'clock. It'll be Team Durant against Team LeBron, and they did a little draft. I think LeBron has Giannis. I think Giannis is on LeBron's team, and Chris Middleton is on Durant's team, I believe. I don't think Middleton and Giannis are on the same team. Because they do it where they do a draft style, so they don't have to be on the same team. So that's Sunday night. That's the NBA All-Star Game. Badgers also play Sunday. They're going to be hosting the Michigan Wolverines, 12 o'clock. But back to that All-Star Game, the only two Bucks All-Stars are Middleton and Giannis. And if Drew Holiday comes in, that'd mean he is an injury replacement. So most likely he will not make it. But yeah, Middleton and Giannis both are All-Stars. Hey, thanks so much to Andy Herman, John Long, and Zach Hansey joining me tonight here on the Sports Q. An absolute blast to talk to all of them, and fun to talk to you on the Sports Q as well tonight. Michael McGovern coming up next. Again, if you'd like to hear my sports thoughts throughout the week, at Hunter B on Air on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook, Hunter Baumgart Sports Facebook page as well. I'll talk to you coming up at midnight. Michael McGovern up next. Thanks for listening to the Sports Q. And as always, stay positive.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join Hunter again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community. Right here on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ Tomahawk.